Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Final day here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here. John, let the flights begin. Get you in your skinny little track suit on the plane. It's time to go. It's time to get out of here.
The pictures are beautiful. Already got them lined up, handcuffed, walking toward the big military transport. Out of here, boys. Back to Haiti, back to Zimbabwe. You're out of here.
Party's over. Stop taking money. Get your hand out my pocket, you know, to quote the Malcolm X movie. You know, get the heck out of here. Who is this guy? Yeah, this guy from Haiti, I heard the soundbite a little bit earlier as I was just trying to listen to a little bit of the news on the way over for the SHOT Show here this morning as I was, making my way through the casino floor as the big oaf dude had too much to drink and his wife's like, this way, get over this way. It's like, I feel bad for that lady trying to usher that guy around. I mean, maybe we need her to go work with Tom Holman. Hey, get over here. Yeah, I mean, if she can escort that big old oaf of a husband or boyfriend that she's trying to get across the casino floor after he had too much to drink, let's have her get these illegals out of this country, you know?
Like Bill Malusian from Fox, he put out a tweet yesterday, and he says, I'm curious, who would have a problem with these people here being removed? They got two MS-13 gang members, one of which who had an Interpol red notice for aggravated murder. Then you had the famous Haitian there you saw. It's got 17 convictions, you know, career criminal, multiple alleged rapists, including one who held a gun in a woman's mouth during the crime, Dominican charged with assault with a deadly weapon and heroin trafficking, rape, sexual assault. I mean, these are all just the worst of the worst people.
Wait, he held a gun to the woman while he committed the crime? Was she pregnant? Because if so, you add that one to it, they would build a statue to that guy in Minneapolis.
George Floyd, praise him. Praise his name.
Oh, man. Wasn't it crazy seeing all these people from Minnesota that are now out of Minnesota or trying to, and now they're the ones that are now trying to get the rest of the family. They're the ones that are doing chain migration now. Like the one brother got out of Minneapolis and now he lives in Montana with his gun business. Now his brothers are like, okay, we come see you. We come with you. So now that's the chain migration now. Now the family's trying to sneak out of Minneapolis and Minnesota and these left destroyed cities.
It's like, well, I always tell people about Montana. How's Montana? You like that? Nah, man. No,
it's awful.
Look, man, there's grizzlies right on the edge of town. You know, we got ground blizzards out here. No, you don't want to come.
If you're cold now, take off 40 more degrees. It's just awful. Yes. You don't want to be.
You just don't want to be here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We got this crazy John Jackson guy running around. And, man, if you heard him kick off the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to every Tuesday at 8. Well, we got a big lineup here today. Yeah, Fox News just had the breaking news. Deportation flights begin as Trump sends strong and clear message. John, did you see? This might have got buried in all the tweets I was sending out yesterday. The Yellowstone County Commissioners sent a letter that Congressman Zinke shared about these illegal aliens. So we need to get to that at some point. I think there's some good stuff in there. So stand by. They basically said, hey, we got a place we can put these guys.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy across the area today. We'll see some areas of light snow and flurry activity up around an inch possible in the Billings area, up to 2 to 3 for some of the totals towards Bozeman. High temperature readings of in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. Tonight, scattered snow showers possible, mainly early. Low temperatures ranging from around 5 to 10 above. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The Senate approves the nation's new CIA director, John Ratcliffe.
The yeas are 74, the nays are 25.
At his recent confirmation hearing, Ratcliffe went through some of our country's biggest security threats: China, Iran, the border, the Russia-Ukraine war, and risk of nuclear fallout, and North Korea. Ratcliffe also told the Senate panel he will look to increase the CIA's capacity to obtain human intelligence, quote, in every corner of the globe, no matter how dark or difficult. At his swearing-in, Vice President J.D. Vance shared why Ratcliffe has the full trust of the president.
He really believes deeply in the mission, first of all, of keeping Americans safe, but also doing it in a way that ensures that the American people have confidence in our national intelligence services.
Ratcliffe was President Trump's director of national intelligence during the Trump first term. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, or you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a big lineup here for our final day of coverage from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. John Fabricatore's retired ICE field office director. He dropped by yesterday to come say hi, so he's going to be coming in later this morning. John, the FBI guy is supposed to be coming in at some point, John, you know, so I keep telling him, I told him last night, I was like, you know, if you don't come by, John's going to start talking trash. He's going to be like, yeah, that FBI guy never showed up, did he? You know,
you asked for a miracle. I give you FBI.
No, it'd be great, man. We were trading some stories. We had a crazy crew that was collecting around the Circle Bar while I was enjoying a cigar with a fellow veteran. I hadn't seen him since Afghanistan. I'm hoping he comes by later today too, because he's just retired out of the Las Vegas PD. He's a detective, great guy. So we were smoking and joking cigars and telling stories, and that was incredible. And then all of a sudden, you know, one of my Montana guys comes over. He's got a whole crew over here that's like an FBI guy, a CIA guy, like a Hollywood stuntman. He was the stunt double for Tom Cruise in the movie Far and Away when they filmed that.
Oh, in the
Billings area, you know, and that guy was a character. And then met a whole host of other characters. There was like, I guess only in Vegas would you get a crew like this together.
And you know what happens too? You're out and you think, like, say somebody like you, you think, I've got to get up so early in the morning. I got to cut out of here. Well, see, you can never cut out because you always run into that next guy. It's always, wait, let's have one more round.
Yeah, right?
Next thing you know, it's midnight. You got to get up in 3 hours.
I know. That's why I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, I was going to just go get dinner and go back. But I'm like, man, what a crew here. So we may catch up with more of those guys here later today. Big thanks here to Ryan Price for dropping in to see us here in the early morning hours as well. Ryan is with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And Ryan, God, I just think, you know, when we talk about getting together with fellow veterans or, you know, law enforcement friends or whatever, God, isn't that just one of the best things that you can do, is just check in on each other and just see how people are doing? Oh, let me get your mic on. There we go.
Yeah, sure. It really is a great thing. And, you know, at AFSP, we're trying to create a culture that's smart about mental health. And we can do that in ways that feel natural to men, even, or veterans or police officers or anything like that. Just checking in. How's it going? You know, and even when it comes to suicide, like, there's a common myth that people think that, well, if I'm seeing signs and I ask them about it, they're not thinking, I'm going to plant the idea in their mind. That's just not true. And so being able to be there, check in, looks different for everyone, but it's so important.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was in the, you know, Army still, in National Guard and then Reserve, one of the biggest takeaways from the training sessions that they would give is like, hey, if you think somebody's actually thinking about it, just straight up ask them. In fact, we had a group called Just Effin' Ask that came through Montana that, you know, Brian Gilman with Warriors in Quiet Waters had brought through. And I thought, you know, hey, that if that's the one thing people take away is, hey, if you think somebody's struggling with something, just F and ask them the question. I thought that was a good way to put it. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, and it's be just direct about it. Like, hey, are you thinking of suicide? It's a great way to open the conversation. If they're not, it's great. You can sit there, listen, whatever they're going through, talk it out, take them out, do something like that. But, yeah, when you ask the question, it opens that opportunity to have a conversation.
So in addition to that, what do you think the big message that people need to hear is? Because it seems like there's lots of attention on suicide and suicide prevention all across the country, in the veteran space, et cetera, but yet the numbers just keep getting worse.
Yeah. So what we know for sure is that the industry, I guess, or the work of like research in suicide prevention is relatively young. You know, at AFSP, we're the largest private funder of suicide prevention research. But we started in 1987. So if you think about like cancer organizations, it started in the early 1900s. There's a big opportunity. There's a lot more we need to learn about suicide. But with that, we're here at SHOT Show to educate firearm owners because like there's 60% of gun owners in the United States who have received some kind of formal training in firearm safety, right? So you take a pistol course, most of it almost is about safety. But suicide is not a conversation, even though suicide accounts for over half of all the firearm deaths in the United States. So if we think about the most current data, 27,000 people used a firearm to take their life. And by and large, gun owners are not educated or informed about suicide prevention, about what they can do to secure their firearm, secure storage, or even putting time and distance between a person who might be thinking of suicide and a firearm. And so that's what we're here to do. We're starting really at the ground level of trying to introduce this topic, especially with firearms courses, to make sure that if you have firearms in the home, you understand the risk and you know how to keep yourself and your family safe.
That's a really interesting point. Integrate that into the firearms safety courses, yeah, or the training courses. Be like, hey, guys, let me just take a few minutes here to just talk about this piece here. Because, yeah, nobody wants the government coming in and saying, hey, you know, now that you called some suicide hotline, you're going to get your guns taken away. Because then why would anybody ever call your stinking hotline? Or why would they ever tell you they think they got an issue? But what you need to do is find a buddy or be that buddy to say, hey, you know what, man, hey, if you're struggling right now, let me just hold on to your right stuff for you here in the meantime. Then, you know, I got it. And then because from what I've heard, a lot of guys who've struggled, men and women who've struggled with this, is that you just need that gap there. Right. And then. And because they know they're getting into a funk. And so when you know you're getting into that funk, well, then execute that plan. Get into that plan.
Yeah, and if you don't know what to do, if you don't have a plan, how could you possibly do that? Yeah, the crisis of suicide is often temporary. And so when we get people through that crisis time, we can often lower the risk and they'll be fine. And like, especially for firearms, one of the reasons why it's so critical is that most people who survive a suicide attempt don't go on to die by suicide later in life. But you don't get that chance with a firearm.
That's right. AFSP.org is the website. Ryan Price with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Great to catch up with you. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming over early, especially
appreciate
this morning. The coffee isn't even open yet.
I know.
But yeah, give it about an hour or so. So, all right, great to see you.
Thanks for what you're
doing. All right, back after this with John Jackson and more.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silverbow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Congressional Progressive Staff Association, or CSPCA, announced its official withdrawal of a letter requesting a rotating 32-hour work week on Capitol Hill. The initial letter argued that a reduction in working hours would improve the work done on the Hill. Quote, the letter failed to make two things clear. First, that progressive congressional staff are dedicated to serving the American people, no matter how many hours it takes to get the job done, said the progressives. The staffers also added that there were, quote, long-standing workplace issues that deserve the attention of Congress. The staffers said a 32-hour work week would not address their problems after Democratic Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and other lawmakers criticized the effort. Warren characterized it as a, quote, terrible idea, adding that her staff hasn't seen what she called a 42-hour work week in months. Warren said her aides work for the public. New York Democrat Richie Torres had a question. Quote, I wonder how blue-collar Americans would feel about white-collar workers demanding a 32-hour work week. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Watch out!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee held a confirmation hearing for President Trump's nominee to lead USDA, Texas native Brooke Rollins. Georgia Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock asked Rollins how the implementation of possible tariffs on trading partners could impact U.S. farmers and ranchers.
They're dealing with slim margins due to high input costs, and the last thing they need is to be caught up in the middle of a trade war that could drive up food prices for all of us.
I think there's no doubt that President Trump has been very transparent that he believes this is an extremely important tool in his toolkit to put America first, to revive the economy, to get us back to a place where he believes we need to be. And I agree with him and hope to help him execute that vision. But it also shouldn't be surprising that his heart and his commitment to our farmers and our agriculture community was certainly clear in the last administration. The number one answer from my perspective is working around the clock to expand market access and working on new trade deals and getting new partners from around the world. I have an undersecretary already named, hopefully get him confirmed very, very quickly so we can begin to build those teams. The president is a consummate deal maker, and I feel very confident we'll be able to expand those markets, begin to peel back the trade deficit, and get back to trade surpluses, which I know we're used to. But immediately moving into the distribution of disaster relief, economic relief, the new farm bill that's coming out, I've already announced the undersecretary and put the team in place to be able to deploy that.
Rollins said the Trump administration is ready to provide financial aid to farmers and ranchers if retaliatory tariffs hurt U.S. exports, similar to the $23 billion trade aid overseen by former Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue during President Trump's first term.
The American Lamb Board wants 2025 to be the best year yet for education. Lamb Checkoff-funded programs include workshops and summits aimed at equipping sheep producers with the necessary tools and resources to profitably grow their operations. Like the American Lamb Summit, July 22nd through 25th, University of Idaho in Moscow. Event highlights include defining lamb quality and hitting carcass targets, and increasing production efficiency. Learn more and register at lambboard.com.
Seasons change. Forages change. Your herd's health shouldn't. SmartLick Low Moisture Block Supplements offer the flexibility to create custom feeding programs that promote balanced nutrition, supporting every stage of production and increasing cattle performance year-round. It's not just another tub. It's the season for SmartLick. Visit us at SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com.
Cattle and sheep ranchers are applauding the U.S. House for passing the Acres Act and Fix Our Forests Act. The Public Lands Council, along with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, are applauding the legislation, both aimed at reducing wildfire risks and improving federal land management. The Acres Act, introduced by Republican from Wisconsin, Representative Tom Tiffany, mandates accurate reporting on hazardous wildfire fuel reduction by federal agencies, addressing past discrepancies in U.S. Forest Service data. The Fix Our Forests Act, introduced by Representative Bruce Westerman, an Arkansas Republican, promotes livestock grazing as a wildfire prevention tool, limits frivolous lawsuits, and enhances measures to protect Western landscapes. The cattle and sheep groups emphasize the importance of supporting farmers and ranchers whose efforts play a key role in wildfire mitigation. The bipartisan legislation now heads to the U.S. Senate with hopes for swift approval ahead of the 2025 wildfire season. I'm Lee Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John. Yeah, we've been having a great conversation here, even just during the break, here with Ryan Price for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I want to come back to him, too, just for one more, very interesting and important angle on this conversation that we just had a few minutes ago. But, John, kind of what stands out to you about this whole topic of suicide prevention?
Like we were talking about at the break, from what I've seen with my personal experience, is the intoxicants. Is, and I mean, 80% of the time it's alcohol. And a lot of people that maybe were just in a bad place at that time, but no big deal. They get liquored up, and next thing you know, they're thinking about it and do it. That seems to be the gateway to actually committing the act.
Yeah, and that's why if you know somebody who's struggling, if you've got a plan in place where they know they're in a funk or whatever, you can't prevent all situations, but you lower the likelihood of that ability to make that final decision right then and there. But Ryan, we were talking during the break here as well. So apparently in Montana, they passed a law to provide some protection. So yeah, somebody out there might say, yeah, I want to help. I want to help out a friend and say, hey, look, if you're getting in a funk, I'll hold on to your guns for you just so that, if you get in a bad place and think about doing something drastic, you don't have that tool right there that could end your life. But what if you're an FFL holder and, you could be held liable for eventually giving their guns back? But apparently we've got a protection in place now in Montana for that.
Yeah, in Montana, and this is something that with suicide prevention, there's a couple of important things. It's one, sort of recognizing the risk factors when they multiply, when you've got job stressors, you've got relationship stressors, you have maybe substance abuse things. And then the warning signs, if someone says they're thinking of suicide, if someone is acting impulsively when they don't normally do that, you've got to have a way to keep the environment safe. And so sometimes that means removing firearms, sometimes whatever it can be to put time and distance between a person and a firearm. And so in Montana, and this is something, an initiative that we're trying to pass across the country, which is to limit liabilities on FFLs. So if they, out of the goodness of their heart, they want to help, they believe it's important, store firearms for someone and give them back, they can't be held liable civilly now. And I can't remember the bill number. I don't know if it's fully, enacted or in place now.
But yeah, we could have one of the lawmaker who passed it could be listening right now and then send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app. So, yeah, no, that's very interesting. Well, again, thanks for what you're doing and thanks for sticking around. And, yeah, we got about 30 seconds before our Fox News update. Anything else important you wanted to put out?
If you're a firearms instructor, we have free information for a free toolkit that you can incorporate into your courses. All the materials we have are free for FFLs and other groups. Suicide is often preventable, and it's up to us to do what we need to do to prevent suicide.
John, I will hold on to all of your guns. If you can give me your ammo, too, I'll hold on to all that.
I'll get right on that. I'll get those right over to you.
Especially in October. No, no. We joke around, but no, this really is. It's these two important things that we talked about, getting a plan in place and just effing ask the question to somebody. Very important stuff. All right, back right after this. John's got a stack of stuff scribbled. You got a whole stack of stuff scribbled on your little yellow notepad. We got a few minutes here. Then we got Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform coming up in just a few minutes.
Well, the biggest news that comes out yesterday, I think in the grand scheme of it, is looks like Pete Hegseth has the votes to be confirmed as Secretary of Defense. And who do we have voting against him is the usual suspects of Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. There was rumor out there that Cocaine Mitch was going to go against him, but no, he's a yes. So we've got the 51. And I said to you at the break, I saw this, John Thune was on Fox last night, and you hear this from people with Susan Collins, and she's in a blue state, and no other Republican's ever going to get elected there. So we just have to let her do what she's going to do. Aaron, did you ever hear or see John Tester acting that way in Montana? in a red? Hell no. He went with the left wing on every single vote. So why do the Democrats get to behave that way? But we have to, the Republicans have to just walk that thin line.
We were talking about this earlier, too. It's like, when is Lisa Murkowski up for reelection? It's also too bad. It's too bad. You know, Donald Trump is America first, right? So as political as he can get, he's America first. But, you know, he already signed in some important executive orders helping Alaska, especially when it comes to energy. Look at what Donald Trump is doing for Alaska. Look at what you and I are doing for Alaska, you know, when we support domestic American energy production. But, you know, he could have held off on that and said, you know what, I'm not going to do jack for Alaska until Lisa Murkowski gets her freaking, you know, act in gear and starts, you know, supporting the rest of America here. But Donald Trump does what's best for America, and supporting Alaskan energy is supporting American energy. But, you know, it's like, but you know what, I hope she's up in 2026. This was my reaction. I thought of the people that work for her back in Washington and how ashamed they should feel working for somebody like Lisa Murkowski. You know, I remember working as a young United States Senate staffer pre-9/11, post-9/11. Her dad, Frank Murkowski, was a class act, right? And then now to see some silver spoon, entitled aristocrat, senator's kid like Lisa Murkowski stab a fellow Republican and a combat veteran like Pete Hegseth in the back. I mean, they just got to be ashamed to work for somebody like that. Especially when the rest of us are fighting for Alaska and American energy. And it's like, you little spoiled, entitled brat. You know, that's not who America is these entitled brats like Lisa Murkowski that think they just get a lord over the rest of us because, oh, well, I was a senator's daughter. And, you know, get the heck out of here.
I'm entitled to that seat, right? You know, it's our family's heritage. No, it's not.
Yeah. That's what I love about that's why I really didn't really bother me too much that John Fetterman was wearing gym shorts at the inauguration because, you know, Thomas Jefferson, when British royalty showed up in Washington, he came down in his robe to make the point that America is not an aristocracy.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we got a great guest here live in the early morning hours of this show. You know, John, it was kind of weird because I was on D.C. time, Eastern time, earlier in the week when we did our show live from Capitol Hill. So that's like 3 hours ahead of us now because we're in Vegas. So we're an hour behind Montana time. So it's only like 5:40 in the morning right now here in Vegas. But let's see, I'm bad at math. I went to journalism school. So, man, the sun's probably already shining back in Washington, D.C. So it looks like the sun's shining here. But, no, that's just the sphere. The sphere in Las Vegas is right over your shoulder right now, kind of a cool view.
You know, they do that intentionally here in Las Vegas with the lights and everything because they don't want you to know when it's day or night because they want you to keep gambling.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, speaking of Washington, D.C., great guest with us right now. And he's going to be in Montana next week. Well, actually, I should have checked if that's a Grover Norquist, I hope that's not close hold information that I just leaked over the airwaves there. But either way, I'm glad to hear you're going to be back in Montana.
Yes, coming out to meet with the governor and his efforts to continue to reduce the income tax there. And, of course, every state needs to put some limits on the power of local governments to raise taxes, property taxes in particular. Because they really run away with it. They tend to like to raise taxes and then blame it on the state for not giving them money. But if you put a cap on, as some other states have done in Florida, the property taxes in that state can only go up your property taxes. If they were $2,000 last year, they can only go up 3% a year forever. That's it. Don't worry about the assessment going up or the local guys changing your rates. That's it. And the city has to learn to limit its appetite for your money.
That's such a great point. Yeah. Let's start with the local front. But then you got some hilarious, or people might get angry when they hear some of these numbers that you're going to share with us in a second here with federal government employees. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, right now, everybody's talking about reducing property taxes. And yeah, there's some things we can do. There's some things we need to do. My biggest thing is stop taxing people based off the value of the home when your purchase price was much lower. But what a lot of people don't realize is, like, okay, yeah, the state can come in and say, well, we're going to lower taxes here, we're going to lower taxes there. But if you're in a Democrat-run city and county like Missoula, they're just going to raise it anyway. They're just going to, well, okay, you lowered this little mechanism. Well, we got four other mechanisms we're going to increase.
That's right. Each state are figuring out that a number of them are taking their income tax to zero. You've taken your sales tax to zero and reducing the income tax rate, which is extremely good. And Jim Porte has done a great job in leading on that, and always going to continue to push to put that one down. What the folks who like property taxes and the local government officials who constantly want to spend more money and never want to be held accountable for it. These are the people that run the schools that have doubled and tripled how much they cost with, the quality of education and kids learning has gone down over the last 40 years while spending has gone dramatically up. And they don't even ask any questions as to what are we doing here? How are we going to get this fixed? What the enemies of limiting local government spending will do is, we don't have to lower our spending, we just have to get the state tax collectors to give us the money they take. So, and we will pretend that if they give us, $1 million, we'll cut the property taxes by $1 million. The local governments in Texas, you think of Texas as being hard-headed poker players, but the local governments would go to the state and say, well, we're going to have to raise taxes unless you give us money from the sales tax. It'll have an income tax. It's all sales tax. And the state would shower money on them, and you'd go back and look at the last 10 years, and not only did they spend every penny of this taxpayers at the state level, state sales tax, but they also increased the property tax as well. But they'll say, well, we didn't do it. That was the assessments. So if anyone tells you they care about property taxes and they talk about anything other than a limit on property taxes, full stop. They're just trying to get more money out of the government one way or the other. And if they can fool the government, now Texas, the government of Texas, the state, has finally figured out that they've been taken and they've gone back. And now they're putting caps on how much money every local government can spend. And that's the discussion they're having in a lot of states. But North Dakota, they tricked people into getting state money to cover for local spending. And the local government just hires lots of people who then help get the mayor reelected.
That's what we see in Montana. You get these liberal leading city councils and some county commissions that then they just jack the tax rates in other areas. So even if you even though we've seen all this growth, they've got more tax revenue coming in because they've got more people paying taxes. Somehow they magically still have to keep taking more of our money, even though they've got more money coming in. I want to go back to the state capitol, Helena, where you will be next week talking about income tax reductions as well. But Grover, we got to get to this because this is just this is very interesting. I think our listeners are just going to find this just mind-blowing. Well, actually, no, they won't be surprised by this in the least, but they're going to want to know these numbers. So John Jackson, the Joker from X, is here with me as well. So John, you know, President Trump is saying, hey, all these federal government employees, you know, all these federal government buildings that are basically empty in Washington, D.C., because all these workers are working remotely. Are they really working while they're remote? So now that he's ordering them to come back to work, anyway, Grover, apparently you've come across some, Grover Norquist is the president for Americans for Tax Reform. You've come across some interesting numbers. They're trying to track down some of these so-called remote workers, and they're having a little bit of trouble, aren't they?
They are. These are the government's own numbers, by the way. There's an inspector general for each department, and they look in to see whether money is being spent wisely or poorly or what's going on. They do these studies, and then the establishment press buries them. So this has been out there, but you didn't hear it on CBS, NBC, ABC, or CNN. But this is actually a study that the Inspector General did. And there are 76 high priority taxpayer service phone numbers. Okay, different phone numbers for different problems you might have that are high priority. It's not just good. Call into the regular phone bank. These are the ones they really need it when you need to get in to talk to the government. So the 56, they called all of them. 56 of the phone numbers sent callers directly to voicemail. Okay, so then nobody picks up, just a voicemail. 16 went to voicemail, but the the voicemail boxes were completely full. So you're not with voicemail and you can't leave a message, right? Can we be clearer on our contempt for you, taxpayer? Two of the phone numbers that are on their website were not even in service. They didn't exist. They weren't there. Two of 76 phone calls made on two of the lines actually had a live operator pick up the phone, okay? Now, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, that's the group inside the government that does these studies and finds this stuff out. Mind you, remember 4 years ago, the Biden administration said, there's nothing wrong with the IRS giving them $80 billion more jobs. That's what we'll do. And you know what? It'll all be people answering the phones for you, so it'll be so quick. They did get a bunch of money. If they hired people to answer the phones, that's not what they're doing. Calling the IRS, trying to talk to them. They're not picking up the phone. They're not calling you back. And some of the phone numbers they give you don't exist. But there's no problem with them working at home.
Yeah, yeah. John, this is another one of those surprise moments, right?
We had this come up yesterday. And we were talking about back in Billings, we've been talking about extra jail space for 25 freaking years. And now they're saying, now 25 years later, you know what? We're going to put another ballot initiative on next time, and it's going to be $200 million, so we're going to raise your taxes again. And I can tell you right now that the voters back there are going to say no.
Yeah, because it's always public safety last, but somehow they got all the money in the world for all these other things. Yeah. Well, Grover, I'm excited to hear you're going to be back in Montana. Yeah, we've lowered with Governor Gianforte and a Republican legislature, we've lowered taxes the last two sessions, and yet, boom, we keep getting a budget surplus. Again, surprise, 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 Grover, about 30 seconds before the break. What else do you want to share?
Well, other states are doing as well. 10 states are phasing their income tax to zero. Those are states that do have a sales tax, in addition to the 8 that are completely zero and the 15 that have a single rate tax, flat rate.
All right. Well, Grover, great to catch up with you. Man, if I wasn't on the road all week this week, I'd want to hit the road next week to go see you at the state capitol in Helena. But, yeah, maybe we'll catch up again next week as you get on the ground. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Speaking of Helena, we're going to do our legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation right after this. And then I'm going to get John all wound up for the next hour of the show.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It's hard to comprehend what was the purpose of leaving the borders open to allow terrorists, gang members, cartel members, murderers, and rapists in our country. Did anyone ever think there'd be any good that came out of that? Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt introducing legislation to finish the wall construction, so that's moving forward. And, you know, at the speed of light, Donald Trump is keeping his pledge and his promise. And we're now up to over 500 illegals, many criminals from countries all over the world, are being removed, including countries with terror ties, are being removed. And it's clear no one is above the law here. If you don't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, then you are not going to be asked. You're going to be taken home.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard, my friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. And with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy across the area today. We'll see some areas of light snow and flurry activity up around an inch possible in the Billings area, up to 2 to 3 for some of the totals towards Bozeman. High temperature readings of in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. Tonight, scattered snow showers possible, mainly early. Low temperatures ranging from around 5 to 10 above. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
Article 2, Section 9 of the Montana Constitution says, quote, no person shall be deprived of the right to examine documents or to observe the deliberations of all public bodies or agencies of state government and its subdivisions, except in cases in which the demand of individual privacy clearly exceeds the merits of public disclosure, end quote. The guarantee of government transparency is one of the great strengths of our state constitution. It's also one of the most controversial. The question is where to draw the line. Lawsuit after lawsuit have been filed over the past 30 years, most of them by members of the press, demanding greater access to documents, files, meetings, and deliberations of public agencies and employees. The balance between the public's right to know and the privacy concerns of individuals is always central to each suit. Just this week, a Cascade County judge reopened access to so-called legislative junk files, which are communications between legislators and bill drafters prior to the introduction of a bill. This is just the latest in a long series of lawsuits demanding public disclosure. 25 years ago, when I served in the legislature, a pair of district court decisions had just opened legislative caucuses to the public. Caucuses are where the parties choose their leadership and where legislators from each party meet to hash out inter-party differences. On the plus side, opening the caucuses did provide greater transparency into the legislative process. But on the downside, many say that in some ways it damaged the legislative process. Having members of the press and members of the opposing party sitting in on your caucus makes it very difficult to openly discuss legitimate differences. It would be like third parties being allowed to sit in on marriage counseling sessions. It stifles the honest discussion of opinions. A similar case in 2021, once again filed by the press, asked the courts to open the meetings held by Republicans and Democrats prior to committee votes. Many times those meetings discuss strategy rather than policy, and inviting the press or members of the other party into a strategy meeting is like inviting the Nazis to a meeting of the Allies prior to the invasion of Normandy. Suffice to say, nearly all the court decisions have resulted in greater access to deliberations and discussions within the legislative and executive branches, and even down to local government levels, which brings us to the latest effort to improve transparency. Under the heading, What's Good for the Goose is Good for the Gander, Senator Greg Hertz of Kalispell is sponsoring Senate Bill 40, a bill to increase judicial transparency. As we said earlier, Article 2, Section 9 of the Constitution says the documents and deliberations of all public bodies or agencies shall be open except in cases of individual privacy. The courts have done a great job of opening the other two branches, but the Constitution says all public bodies or agencies. Senate Bill 40 would require the recording of closed deliberations of all cases not of a personal nature. Those deliberations would then be made public after the case has reached final resolution. The courts have demanded transparency of the other two branches in real time. This doesn't even go that far. Under the current practice, the Supreme Court deliberates in private, then releases a polished, well-edited decision. Wouldn't it be great to hear the raw discussions that led to the decision? We're not talking about cases where individual privacy trumps the public's right to know. We're talking about the big cases with far-reaching constitutional implications, like the recent Held decision on environmental policy or the Armstrong decision on abortion. It's hard to argue that the deliberations in those cases must be kept secret due to privacy concerns. It's time to pull back the veil on secret judicial deliberations. After all, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, we'll be back with John Jackson, the Joker from X, plus more great guests to come throughout the morning as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in the last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silverbow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.